Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, day two. Beetle and Arcan in for, well, Zoe and Hardy. Arcan doing two roles today. Once again.
Double duty again.
Double dipping.
No problem.
I'm sure they pay you double for that, too.
They do, actually.
Excellent. It's a way to do it.
Two jelly beans an hour.
Two jelly beans an hour. They let you pick out two snacks out of the snack machine today instead of one.
All the Sun Chips.
Yes. All the ho-hos you can eat. All right, so as I just mentioned to Fred a couple minutes ago, Kyrie Irving is where we start today here on this show, because every time there are reports or there are rumors that there could be something happening, the latest report with Kyrie Irving coming a couple of days ago, which was Kyrie Irving could be going somewhere next year. He wants to team up with Jimmy Butler. They want to be together. Maybe they could shop themselves together. Maybe Butler could end up a member of the Celtics, whatever it might be. The more you hear about Kyrie Irving, the more he talks and the more reports that come out, the more he seems like a flight risk. And every time that sort of ramps up, you get a report that the Celtics are confident that they can re-sign Kyrie Irving. We've gotten two of these reports now about their confidence level on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. If you Google Kyrie Irving right now, all the news things that pop up are contradictory stories. It's amazing. Like, I've never seen something quite like this before, where you just Google the man's name, and it's like, Kyrie wants to play with Jimmy Butler. Then another one saying, actually, Kyrie doesn't want to play with Jimmy Butler, and Kyrie's a flake, and Kyrie wants to stay, and Boston's no longer Kyrie's team. It is, considering the spot that we're at right now with him, the speculation is, I'd say, rampant at this point. Rampant speculation.
Absolutely. Rampant right now. So with that being the case, we keep getting these reports that they're confident they're going to bring him back. He's going to be a member here. And I just wonder, first of all, I wonder why. Where does that confidence come from? Where does that come from? Considering you're now in a league, and this is something that needs to be considered. Because automatically, LeBron goes to the Lakers, the East has been wiped out, and everyone has crowned the Celtics as the team from the East for years to come. You've heard that. Years to come. Not just this year.
Sure.
I mean, I get it for this year. You look at the East right now and say, well, the Celtics should be in the NBA Finals. What's to say that doesn't change at any point next offseason? Because you've not only become the best team in the East, but because the East has been so weakened, it's not going to be that hard for a couple of players to think to themselves, and there's a big free agent class coming up next year, hey, we join up. We go to any team in the East, we can compete and be in the finals.
We're there.
How easy is it to now build a super team in the East that you know can now, maybe not even a super team, just a good team that can get to the finals and compete with the Celtics? And if that includes the Celtics losing Kyrie Irving next offseason, that could be like double the damage. Kyrie leaves and then builds his own team somewhere else in the East, and all of a sudden you're saying, oh no, oh, we lost Kyrie Irving, and he just put together a team with players X, Y, and Z.
Right.
It's easier to do it now.
It's much easier to do it. And there's actually some teams in the East that are already kind of good. Like, the Bucks are kind of good. The Pacers are kind of good. The Raptors should be better than they are. And they have some players. Like, if you just put one other star on the Bucks, they're probably the two seed behind the Celtics, right? I mean, same with the Pacers. They gave the Cleveland a series in the first round. You put someone there with Oladipo or somebody else on the Raptors, a third option there with that backcourt.
Right.
You're talking about competition here. I mean, there's no LeBron, obviously, and that was the big, you know, boogeyman for the Celtics every year, but it's not like there's nothing in the East. There's still some teams that, you know, aren't terrible and certainly could add one piece and become pretty good.
Yesterday we had a caller who said that Kyrie Irving is mad at the Celtics, and this is the caller's theory, because he knows that the Celtics tried to offer him up in a trade for Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
Right, and therefore he looks at it and says, they're not committed to me. We don't have any definitive confirmation. There was a report from Sports Illustrated that we read last week, which said it's believed that the Celtics, any trade offer for Kawhi would involve Kyrie Irving and picks, is what it would be. That's what their package would center around. Our very own Dan Lifshatz.
He's convinced.
He is convinced. It is his belief. His belief that the Spurs rejected an official offer from the Celtics, which included Kyrie and a pick for Kawhi Leonard. He reports that it's been quiet on the Spurs front since. No major suitors have emerged. So there's a belief out there, at the very least, that the Celtics have involved Kyrie Irving in trade talks for Kawhi Leonard. And then on top of it, they're saying, but we're confident we can re-sign him. If you were confident that you could re-sign him, would you be involving him in trade talks for Kawhi Leonard?
Unless you were as confident you could also re-sign Kawhi Leonard. We're talking about two guys with the same contract status who could both opt out at the end of the year and both be gone. So if they are confident about Kyrie and also about Kawhi, then fine. Yeah, it's a swap. You keep him, you try or you trade one, you try and keep the other one. But how could they be confident like that about Kawhi Leonard? He hasn't indicated at all that he'd want to go to Boston.
Let's say that a deal for Kyrie Irving could be, 3 to 4 years in length.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
Plus this season, where he's already on the final year of his contract. Would you take 5 years of Kyrie? Again, this assumes health. Or 1 year of Kawhi Leonard?
The five of Kyrie.
Of course.
Definitely.
Which means if you're so confident that you're going to bring the guy back and that he's going to get signed here, you're not talking about using him as a chip. It's not floated that he's going to be used as a chip. It's not being talked about in league circles, as SI reported, that Kyrie would be in any possible, major significant offer for Kawhi Leonard. You wouldn't be doing that. And that's why I look at it and say, so why would you come out and say that you're so confident that you're going to re-sign the guy? And based on everything the guy has said himself, he seems very open to the idea of going out and being a free agent next offseason. He wants to go out and that doesn't mean he doesn't want to go back to the Celtics. Doesn't mean that that's not maybe his first choice. Maybe that's the case. It also means, though, he's going to test the waters. He's going to go out there. He's going to shop himself. He's going to take the meetings. He's going to do all those things. Is he not?
Sure.
So where the hell does that confidence come from?
Go full John Tavares.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't understand why they would be confident about that. There's no indication that I've seen publicly anyway. Maybe they've had private talks with him and he's sort of said, yeah, I'm really leaning towards staying here. I really like it here. I really like the young players. I like the cut. He could have been saying all these things behind the scenes, but he hasn't said anything like that really publicly.
So here's the other part. I believe that the reports are true, that the Celtics are telling their, through their various moles and leaks and all of that. They're saying this behind the scenes. Oh, we're confident we can keep Kyrie. They want that out there. They mm-hmm. want that to be said. I just think that their actions, if true, if they're shopping him for Kawhi Leonard, the actions always speak louder than the words. And the words are probably just to continue to float the idea that, hey, if he does play the season here and we don't trade him and he's a Celtic, we want to have it out there that we are confident we can bring him back, that we're committed to this player. Because there are things to like about Kyrie Irving. I mean, that's stating the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if that's what you're banking on is, we'll try and trade him, but in the meantime, we'll try and just keep floating it that we're committed to Kyrie Irving. We want him here.
Yeah.
We're all in on Kyrie because they are trying to manage maybe all these other reports that are out there saying, yeah, they're talking to the Spurs. They're believed to be involving Kyrie Irving in their trade talks when they're talking about putting together a deal to move on Kawhi Leonard and be the team that lands Kawhi Leonard, a guy that obviously the Celtics like.
If the Celtics really offered Irving for Leonard, why wouldn't the Spurs do that? What would stop them? They obviously don't want to send him to L.A. It's an East Coast team. You get back a legitimate superstar. It's only a year. Yeah, sure. But at least you're getting that year from that guy. And listen, the Spurs, whatever you think about them, could still be contenders with Kyrie Irving playing at 100% this year.
Because, I'll tell you why, they're in no rush to do the deal.
Mm.
I think that has become apparent about the Spurs.
They're dragging it out?
They are dragging it out.
To stick it to Leonard?
I think just for their own interests, which is they'll drag it out. And they'll wait on all the best offers. The longer you wait, the more you might get a better offer. And if you've got offers on the table, if you've got an official offer, you can always go back to it. You can call back in 3 weeks and say, you know what? All right, we've done our due diligence. We liked your offer. We're going to take your offer. You want to still do the deal? and a trade that, you know, has been proposed by another team, assuming their cap situation and the money and everything else is still going to align for them, they'll probably still do it. I don't think there's any danger. I don't think it has to be done the first week of July, and I think the Spurs know that. See, here's the thing. The Spurs are not a dumb team.
Right.
Spurs are a smart team. They're not in any rush. Although, the latest report on Kawhi Leonard is that when they went to go visit him, he hid. He was in hiding.
In New York. Which he's denied, by the way.
He's running.
Yeah.
He's running from the Spurs.
Kawhi's people said that that's not true, but I want it to be true because it's a funny story about him being in New York and him, like, ducking into an alley or whatever, trying to get away from him.
All right, so we start with Kyrie. We also are going to get to something that Colin Cowherd had on Kyrie yesterday, which part of it I agree with, but I also think that maybe Colin is missing part of the take here, is missing the big picture in the NBA.
Not Colin Cowherd.
He missed the big picture, I think, a little bit.
Okay.
I understand why he's saying the things he's saying about Kyrie. I just think that, come on, man. We'll get to that. His take on Kyrie yesterday that he had, we'll do that coming up next.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
You know, if you listen to this show, and Joy, you've only been here a few weeks on the show. You know this. I'm very pro-mobility. You've moved.
Yes.
I've moved. John Goulet. Everybody on my staff has moved cross-country several times. I am pro-mobility. Get out. See the world. Take a chance. Roll the dice. Don't underachieve. You got more talent than you think. I am Mr. Pro-mobility. I'm even pro-divorce if you feel like you've hit a dead end in a relationship. Married, not moved. Take, go. Okay, I'm for that. You know that. I'm a Volve guy. Move on. Get happy. But there does come a point where after several divorces, it's on you. You're a flake. Officially this morning, I think Kyrie Irving has moved into flake category.
That's Colin Cowherd calling Kyrie Irving a flake yesterday. I couldn't help but think, hearing that Cowherd was in some ways talking about himself. I think he's been divorced. He's also talking about move on, evolve, be happy. I couldn't help but think that meant leaving ESPN and going to FS1. I think he was drawing some parallels to his own life.
Sounds like it.
But he called him a flake. He called Kyrie Irving a flake, which I would say, if that's why you're going to call him a flake, guess what? And I know Colin Cowherd, being the smart guy that he is, this is the NBA. This is what these guys do. This is how this league works. You're talking about the stuff that you would hope that players value, which is a good culture and a good coach and a lack of egos and bullcrap. But you're also talking about a guy that's very concerned with promoting a movie right now.
Right.
I mean, this is what this league is. This is what a lot of these players want. So if you're going to call him a flake, you got to call, like, the entire league a bunch of flakes for not valuing the things that you would hope for them to value. Let's get to more with Colin Cowherd. More of this take on Kyrie Irving and how upset he is that he would consider leaving the Celtics.
But you don't leave the guy in Cleveland that took your reputation and got you movies, sneaker deals, titles, rings. And now you want to leave Boston? There are no better coaches than Brad Stevens. He is the Belichick 15 years ago. The best coach with 15 years left. They got draft picks, depth, defensive. You don't even have to play great defense. Marcus Smart comes off the bench. They got everything. Even their veteran guy, Al Horford. Everybody in the league loves him. They don't have any egos. Gordon Hayward. They have a promising young star or two. Tatum, Jaylen Brown. And you want out of that? Folks, I am Mr. Mobility. I'm Mr. Evolve. Take a chance. Roll the dice. Start over. But when you have the best GM, the best head coach in the weakest conference, virtually a 6-year guarantee to get to the finals. Sorry, Philadelphia. Sorry, Philadelphia. You didn't even give Boston a threat. Sorry, Philadelphia. You don't have enough good players. Kyrie's not into winning. Kyrie has a LeBron complex or a savior complex or I got to get all the credit complex. Out on Kyrie. He's a flake.
He's a flake. That's what he said. And again, yes, sure. Is it right to be upset with players who want to leave a good situation, good team, good coach, good ownership, good GM, everything? Good market, good fan base. Everything is good.
Yeah.
to want to leave that is, to most people, insane. What are you doing? Why would you want to leave?
Where are you going to go? You're going to go to the Knicks?
That's not the league.
You're going to go save the Knicks?
Not the NBA. We just watched LeBron this very week choose L.A. Why? Because he likes it.
Yeah.
Because he likes it. Not because it's the best chance to win, but because he likes L.A. The same way Kyrie Irving probably likes New York. And that's home for him. And he wants to go and explore that this coming offseason, going to the New York Knicks.
And
that is what this league is, which is at times, as you can tell based on Colin Cowherd's reaction, it is maddening. But it is what the league is.
It is. And, you know, God bless Kyrie. You want to start over somewhere. You want to go save the Knicks. You want to go be in New York. Fine. But look at the lack of success that LeBron James is having in getting players to come play with him in L.A. right now. I mean, it's not like, first of all, you didn't want to play with LeBron. Paul George didn't want to play with LeBron. Chris Paul didn't want to play. I mean, you can go down the list of all these players who had a chance to go play with LeBron or continue playing with him and decided they didn't want to. And now you think you can go to New York and attract some sort of super team there? LeBron can't even get people to go to L.A. You think Kyrie Irving's going to be some big draw in New York where all these players are going to go, yeah, let's go to the Knicks and play for Dolan and these jackasses over here, and also we'll be with Kyrie. There's maybe one guy, Jimmy Butler, maybe would do that.
You're making the mistake, Christian, of players sitting there and saying, oh, let's go play for Dolan and this jackass team. They look at it as, hey, we could go play in New York.
Right.
They don't consider all these other things.
True.
Because if they did, Kyrie Irving wouldn't consider the New York Knicks.
You're right.
He'd say, why would I go play for those idiots?
But I think
Dolan might be selling, though. Dolan's rumored to be selling.
That could be the case, too.
That'd be something.
But their stock shot up because Dolan said, I might sell.
Yeah, I know. Because I might be out of here. They don't look at those things. You're falling into the same trap.
I can't believe it. But no, Beto, what I'm saying is that, you know, I understand what Kyrie wants to do. I don't think he'll be able to do it. I don't think he'll be able to get some team in New York that's going to make him happy and, you know, save the New York Knicks like he's thinking about. Oh, we'll get to go play in New York. Sure. But
I'm
who are you going to get to play with?
I'm
you want to be Carmelo sitting there finishing fifth every year?
You know that part of the draw now in the Eastern Conference is come back to the East. It's barren here. There's nothing here but the Celtics.
Mm.
There's an opportunity here. That's not part of the sell.
The rumor is Durant, though. Durant might go to New York.
Oh.
If Kyrie and Durant go there to play with Porzingis, that changes things.
Yeah, that's it
for
the Celtics.
They're better than you.
There goes this latest build of the Celtics. There goes that latest run.
Durant to the Knicks? I hadn't heard that.
Anything is possible.
The Knicks are planning their offseason for next year already with Kevin Durant in mind. That's what I read.
Okay.
It might have been a Stephen A. thing. I'll look to see who said it.
Stephen A. who said the Celtics were going to have a big meeting with LeBron, too, right? That LeBron was texting Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Stephen A. didn't really hit the nail on the head with that one.
He's been nosediving. Dan Lifschitz has been better than Stephen A. lately.
Lifschitz has been better than Stephen A. Take that, T-Bone!
Lifschitz!
He's got a lot of hot reports on Twitter, Dan Lifschitz. Mark is in Newton. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. So just real quick. From the beginning, you know, I think that the deal with Kyrie was done almost in bad faith. I think, obviously, he wanted out of Cleveland, get away from LeBron. But just there was problems from the beginning. I mean, getting the deal done in the first place. Was it made? Was it not made? And then when he got here, he just doesn't seem happy. I just think that his commitment to the city, his commitment to the team just hasn't been here from the beginning. And, you know, it's just he has no faith in being here. And, you know, I kind of think that he's a little bit of a prima donna when it comes to where he's playing and you know, who he's playing with. So,
oh, no, he's definitely a prima donna. We knew that before he ever arrived.
I didn't get the sense he was unhappy here. Did you think that?
No, I don't think he's unhappy here, but that also doesn't mean he wants to stay.
Right. And those two things aren't,
And that's okay.
Exclusive,
I would still do the deal again.
Yeah.
Even if you knew that he didn't want to be here beyond the two seasons you were guaranteed to get him, I still would have done the deal.
Definitely.
So,
we're going to keep Isaiah Thomas?
I don't think there's any regrets there.
Yeah.
There's no regrets about the deal.
No. And the only bad faith was that the Celtics sent Thomas over, who was still very much, you know, recovering from his hip injury. And that almost held the deal up. You remember? Cleveland almost said, hey, wait a minute. This guy can't play. And that almost lampooned the deal. So I don't see why that would bother Kyrie. Kyrie wanted out of Cleveland. He went to a good situation. Everything sort of checks all the boxes. Well, yeah, you're not there anymore. You're leading your own team. You got these young players here with you. What else could you possibly want? You never know with these guys. He wants to play in New York. You can't argue with that.
It was Zach Lowe, by the way, not Stephen A. Better reputation.
Okay. Zach Lowe, good reputation. That the Knicks are planning to pursue Kevin Durant.
100% their top target next offseason.
Top target. Well, that doesn't mean anything, though.
Top target.
So?
It's top target.
He's everyone's top target. who doesn't want Kevin Durant? Of course the Knicks want Kevin Durant.
Mike is in Lynn. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Just a comment on Kyrie. I think we all saw this coming. You know, his history when he was in high school, he moved to a different high school so he could be more competitive. When he was at Duke, he thought he was good enough to go in, and he left. Then he goes to Cleveland, needs to be a star of his own, comes to Boston. I think he's insane to leave, but I think Ainge is nuts if he doesn't package something and get something for him now before he ends up leaving on his own and we get nothing.
Yeah, I don't think he's insane, but I also think that he's aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he should be anyway. And also, we're forgetting one big
thing.
Because
there's still value in having Kyrie Irving on your team next year.
There definitely is.
Right, so if you're going to move him, you got to make sure that it's a good deal. Don't trade him just for the sake of get him out of here.
Right, and we're also forgetting one big thing about Kyrie Irving, is that he may be damaged goods here. This is a knee that's been bothering him since he was in college. You know, and that was a pretty serious surgery that he had here, and, you know, he's rehabbing from it. I'm sure he'll be back and have his handles and, you know, his jump shot and all that, but we don't know that he's going to be the same player. How could you possibly know that? You know, I mean, you have your two superstars coming back from major injuries, and sort of this idea that, yeah, everything's going to be fine. They'll just come right back in and play back to, you know, the level that we all know them to be at, and I don't know for sure that that's the case. I definitely don't know with Kyrie. Hayward's another one. Like, you think he's going to be 100% coming back from that? He had another surgery. You know, there's no reason to think that these are slam dunks, that these guys are going to be back and ready, and I think that might play into it a little bit, too.
617-779-0985. Talking about Kyrie Irving and the latest take from Colin Cowherd that, you know, he'd be crazy. He's a flake to want to leave Boston. And I would just say, in response to that, this is the NBA. Sometimes it is hard to apply logic to the decisions that are being made by players in free agency and where they want to play and what their desires are. The smallest things can convince a player that they need to be elsewhere. The smallest things can convince a player that they need to be in a particular market, even though that team may be poorly run. And that would certainly be the case for the New York Knicks as it stands right now. But it's New York, and it's a draw. The big city and that lifestyle, you know. LeBron wanted L.A., wanted the bright lights, wanted right. Hollywood, wanted Rodeo Drive. Meanwhile, Kyrie Irving could want Broadway. That's what he wants. That's what some of these guys just want because they like it. 617-779-0985. We've got that. And also, Marcus Smart, the latest on Marcus Smart's free agency. Conflicting reports on what his status is and what his thoughts are. We'll address that next after headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox back at it tonight, the first of a three-game set with the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City. Chris Sale on the mound tonight against Jason Hamill. Sale with an 8-4 record, a 2.41 ERA. Red Sox, 30 games above 500. Yankees are in a game back in the American League East. They will be in Toronto tonight to open up a set with the Blue Jays. A new report from the Boston Herald says Celtics guard Marcus Smart is both hurt and disgusted that the Seas have not contacted him yet with an offer, of course, a restricted free agent. Wimbledon yesterday, defending champion Garbine Muguruza eliminated in the second round. Simona Halep and Rafael Nadal each advanced. John Isner and Roger Federer back in action today. Golf entering round two of the Greenbrier. Wee Kim, your leader, at 9-under. And in World Cup action resuming today, Uruguay taking on France and Brazil and Belgium kicking off later this afternoon as well. Your Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Can't Stop Moving, the official mover of 98.5 The Sports Hub, Boston's top-rated when it comes to moving your home or office. Get a free quote at can'tstopmoving.com. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 11 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Kyrie wants to get credit. He doesn't want wins. You don't leave LeBron, who's a guaranteed finals appearance, got you a title, winning, and you don't leave Brad Stevens and the momentum of the Celtics winning to go to the worst run organization in sports. You're not going to make any more money there. Well, the shoe deals, that he's got a shoe deal. What are you going to get, Uncle Drew, the movie 2? You already got a movie. Rings, money, shoe deal, movie, winning. You left the best player, now the best organization. Kyrie Irving, you are officially a flake. And I am Mr. Pro Mobility. All right, let me shift gears.
Colin Cowherd, FS1, Fox Sports. Yeah, that's Kyrie Irving, the guy who asked to leave LeBron with a guaranteed title trip on the line.
You're officially a flake.
Which is something I criticized Kyrie for all of last summer, even after he became a Celtic. He can't handle playing with the best player in the world. In fact, there's a report out today that he asked for, or considered asking for a trade, immediately following the win in the NBA Finals.
Wow.
That offseason, we'll get to that coming up, but we do want to touch on Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart, who is currently, not getting the offers that he really wants at this point in time. Marcus Smart is apparently hurt, according to one report. He's upset with the Celtics. He's looking for more from the Boston Celtics, and right now he's not getting it. Marcus Smart, does he have a right to be pissed off right now?
I would say no. He got a qualifying offer, and other teams can, you know, offer him a contract, and the Celtics can match it. I think the Celtics took the first step in all of this, which they're supposed to do. And listen, if they really want to keep him around at that sort of money, then that's fine. But if Terry Rozier wasn't here, it'd be an easier decision. I think right now the Celtics are doing their due diligence, and they're sort of hoping that no one else comes in with a big offer. And Smart's probably looking around saying, hey, Dante Exum just got paid, and that guy sucks. Which he does, by the way. Dante Exum sucks. And he's just got a nice contract. So now here's Marcus Smart thinking, I'm better than that guy. And that's not really how the market works. I mean, the Jazz were dumb to do that. But the Celtics, I don't think, are in any position right now where they need to show loyalty to Marcus Smart. They gave him a qualifying offer. They want to keep him here. And, you know, if someone comes in with an offer sheet, they can match it. But right now, I think everything's about where it should be. And I don't really see why Smart's so upset. He might be, like, disappointed that other teams aren't interested. But that's not really the Celtics' fault.
Well, here's what it says in the Globe report that popped up last night. Mark Murphy, reporting from Las Vegas, says, according to someone close to the Smart camp, who requested anonymity to comment on the situation, the Celtics guard is frustrated with the lack of outreach from his team. Quote, he loves the Celtics, but with these crickets he's hearing, he's hurt and disgusted by it, said the source. You know what's never a good idea is when you have, like, someone else doing the talking for you.
Yeah.
And it's like just someone in your camp who's willing to speak to a reporter and, hey, you can use this quote, but don't say who I am.
Right.
Because you never know. You never know how the guy truly feels. He says in this report, Mark Murphy, Herald, however, limited prospects aren't the main issue behind Smart's disillusionment. Because though fellow 2014 lottery alumnus Dante Exum signed for an eye-opening three-year $33 million contract, for the most part, the market has been bearish for restricted free agents.
It's a nice way of putting it, eye-opening. How about stupid? what a dumb offer that was. You know, like anyone's gonna try and combat that one. I thought that was so weird. And I look at that and think, you know, yeah, Smart's probably got some kind of gripe here. He's probably gonna look around and say, hey, what about this guy? What about that? What about all these other players? What about JJ Redick getting re-signed? And, you know, various other guys who were getting these deals. And listen, I like Marcus Smart. I think he's, you know, sort of played himself into a folk hero around here. But do you think he's worth $14 million?
No, I do not.
No.
Do you think he's worth 10 or 11?
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say
yes,
he is.
Yes, you do.
I'd say he is.
Sure he is. Would you even go so high as 12?
No.
On a short-term deal?
Short-term deal, maybe. 2 at 24, I'd do.
I would do 2 at 24.
I wouldn't do 4 at 48.
I've said anywhere from 2 and 22 to 2 and 24. 2 years, $11 to $12 million, and you can sell him on the prospect of going back out on the market in 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And is he probably making the qualifying offer this year, or is that an extension, or is that counting this year?
See, that's an interesting thing, because I would gladly tack that onto the qualifying offer. I wouldn't require him to do
then
it, though.
Then it's like 3 for 28.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Or 3 for 30, whatever.
That would be 3 for 30. Yes, you could do 3 at 30, and qualifying offer is what you get in year 1, and then you get the money in years 2 and 3. I don't think he's going to go for that, though. I don't. So maybe what you could do, if it's better for the cap, and again, the NBA cap, you can give you a headache. You can go in circles on that thing for days. Maybe there's a way they structure it where he is taking that qualifying offer and then you add it. Because the Exum situation says he signed an extension, which leads you to believe that that's in addition to taking the qualifying offer.
Right.
Well, he's upset. The quote, again, from the source, the source that is close to the Smart camp, He would have thought there would have been some kind of 3 to 4 year deal from them to show they're interested. But the qualifying offer is the only one he has received, and there's been no talk since free agency opened. He's most disappointed that there has been no reaching out from their end. He's just hurt and frustrated that Danny hasn't reached out. That's the most discouraging part of this whole thing. The last contract was a few days before free agency started. Then there are other reports, like Keith Smith reports, the Celtics and Marcus Smart have had a good dialogue on a new deal.
Right.
Still not there, but neither side is in a rush. With cap space drying up around the league, it lessens the need to rush to a new contract. So, which is it? Is this person close to the Smart camp, not that close and completely full of crap, or are they working on a new deal?
You know what makes me think it might be the former of what you just said? Is the quote down at the bottom of the Mark Murphy story where he goes, it's like Isaiah Thomas last year. First of all, not a great comparison if you're trying to get paid. Marcus has played through an injury, the source said. He pushed himself to return early from thumb surgery in the playoffs, taking the gamble.
How did he get hurt?
That he was healed. He punched a picture frame.
Oh, right.
Warrior.
He played through injury. No. He played through an injury that he created by being a donkey.
Yeah.
That's what happened. By being a complete jackass and punching the wall.
Because some Instagram model got in his feelings. And listen, you want to make the comparison to Isaiah Thomas? Fine. Isaiah got traded. Second of all, Isaiah didn't hurt himself. Like, Isaiah got slammed to the ground, his tooth fell out, he had a hip injury and all these things. He didn't punch a picture frame and cut his thumb open. I mean, that's completely ridiculous for them to try and make it this, like, thing. Oh, he came back so brave and valiant. Like, no, he was a jackass, and he missed a lot of time. And, yeah, it was nice that he came back, but ultimately they still didn't get to the finals. So, you know, really, what are we talking about here? You know, like, what? You want to throw that in there to a story about, and you can tell there's other things in here about how he's, you know, and not to make fun of this, but he's down in Dallas with his mom who's sick and stuff, and that's obviously very serious, but you can tell that this story was put there and sort of planted in order to paint Marcus Smart in a certain way, and I don't think it necessarily achieved that. I think
I'll
they
tell you this,
missed the mark a little bit.
You know, the quotes from this source, the tone of them don't really align with what Marcus Smart said at the end of the season. When he was kind of asked about it in free agency, and his quotes were sort of along the line of, listen, I'm just happy that there are going to be, you know, maybe multiple teams that are making me offers for me to play for them in the NBA. And for that, I'm just, you know, that makes me happy, right? It was sort of, you know, very mature of him to say, you know what, I'm just focused on getting home to what's important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just happy that there are going to be multiple teams that make me an offer to play for a team in the NBA. That's pretty good. And so the anger in these quotes only a couple of weeks, maybe close to a month later, don't really align with what his mentality was going back a few weeks.
Yeah, I would agree.
Or how he sounded when he spoke about it.
I think part of it's just disappointment. You know, there's not other teams offering him anything. No one's trying to match the quality. No one's coming with an offer sheet. And listen, DeMarcus Cousins waited about 8 hours after LeBron James got signed, didn't get any offers that he wanted, and said, hey, I'll take the mid-level to go to Golden State. These guys are really impatient. And I think they also have this idea in their mind that when they hit the market, they're going to be, you know, wined and dined like Kevin Durant and LeBron and all these other people, and they're not at that level. It hasn't quite trickled down to them yet, and I can see them being disappointed, but don't get in your feelings with your sources in the media.
The source says he's not upset that other teams haven't come calling. He's only upset with the Celtics.
Right.
He's not upset with the other teams that might want his services, just upset with his own team. I don't know. I don't know that I fully buy what the source is saying. 617-779-0985. Your calls on Kyrie and Marcus Smart next.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can touch 35 the freezer.
The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive is happening Saturday, July 14th. That is next Saturday. You can donate from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Best Western in Woburn. Raffles and games throughout the day. Your walk-ins are welcome, or you can schedule an appointment ahead of time at redcrossblood.org. That's redcrossblood.org. It's the annual Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive Saturday, next Saturday, the 14th. 10 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. Best Western in Woburn. Please join us for that. 617-779-0985. 0985. Let's get back to your calls. Matt is in Stoughton on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. So I think we're all in agreement that Kyrie is an all-star player. But I don't think it's do or die that we need to re-sign him. I mean, if he ends up walking and we don't get anything in return, we know, one, all right, he's not about the basketball. He's all about his image. And, I mean, we do have the backup of Terry Rozier, who is not even close to the same player. But, I mean, I guess this is all kind of pointless because we already have Daniel Tice on the roster. So, I mean, there's nothing else we really need to do.
It's Daniel Tice guy again.
No, I don't think it is. I just think it's somebody else.
There's more than one Daniel Tice guy?
I think he's joking.
Are we sure that was not Daniel Tice?
No, it was not. He may have been Daniel Tice, but it was not.
2 days in a row.
At least according to the call screener, not our Daniel Tice guy from yesterday. But a good joke.
That wasn't bad.
Jim Louth is here today. He was not here yesterday. We had a guy who was all about Daniel Tice.
And he was serious. That guy, there was a little tongue-in-cheek there, you think.
Serious about how much better the Celtics will be and how upset he was that everyone talks about how Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were unavailable for the Eastern Conference Finals. Why were people not talking about the difference that Tice would have made had he been on the floor?
Our intern Collins, one of these Tice people.
Oh,
this is a group of people. He stands up. I can see him behind me already.
He stands up, raises his hand. Like, I don't know who he is. Like, I don't know who he is.
There's a group of people that are like, no, you don't need any of these guys. You got Tice coming back. Like, you don't need that role guy. Like Aaron Baines came back. I thought that was a big signing. Yeah, but I think Tice is bigger.
Yeah, no, this was the case. That if they had just had Tice, they would have won the Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure.
Not that they didn't need Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. They just needed Tice, and they would have been put over the top.
This isn't a singular person, though. This is a group of people.
That's a movement.
Yes.
It's a Celtics green teamer type of movement. Daniel Tice.
Need a name for these people. They're like a cult.
Put them up there with the greats, the all-time Celtic greats.
The Branch Ticeans or something.
We've had too many of these. Too many of these Celtics over the years. Andy in Hanover with a scenario where Kyrie Irving stays in Boston. Andy.
Hey, Mark. I'm a little concerned that DJ Khaled, Wu-Tang Clan, and Harvey Weinstein might buy the Knicks and create Brooklyn 2.0 around Kyrie. It's something I think some of your colleagues are really concerned about. But I do agree with Colin Coward. Money and organization. If you want to feel good about the Celtics, go back to the last time Danny Ainge held the ball in his hand as an NBA player when he rifled the ball off of Mario Elie's face after he was big-timing him in the playoffs. That's our GM, a grimy, ruthless deal-maker. That's why Marcus Smart's pissed off, because Danny Ainge is good at his job. And I'm not worried about Kyrie staying. We've got the best coach in the league, okay, and he hasn't even gotten a chance to coach a guy he coached in college in Gordon Hayward. We made it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie playing 1 second, and he'd be nuts to leave. We can offer more money than everyone. If he does, whatever.
Yeah, Andy, I think what you're hitting on is the reason why the Celtics are on the smart point. The reason why the Celtics are not calling him or talking to him right now is because they don't have to. And according to this source in the Herald story, nobody else is calling Marcus Smart.
Right.
No one else is calling him. So why do you have to call him?
Did he say DJ Khaled, the Wu-Tang Clan, and Harvey Weinstein?
It was joke, yeah.
Okay.
He's saying that's going to be the new Knicks ownership.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was with him till Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, that was the clear signal that it was just a joke. And the other part about, you know, Danny being a ruthless deal maker, yes, that's the value in him.
Yes, it is.
And that's why he's waiting out Smart right now. Because he's, as he says, Andy said, he's good at his job. Go ahead, test the market, see what you get out there.
And if Smart does get an offer, Danny's not going to match a $15 million per year offer. You know, there's no way. I mean, it wouldn't be smart to, I don't think. No pun intended. I mean, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for them.
Jeff is in Nashua. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Just a quick point on Kyrie, too. And I know Felger says do the money on your own time. But I think, from what I can gather, that Smart, if he wants a, you know, a $6 to $8 million increase in salary, the Celtics are about $8 million away from the luxury tax. And, you know, with the Jimmy Butler thing, he's about $8 million more than Marcus's cap hit. Anyways, do you think that they're just waiting to see how the summer shakes out, and if there's something there with Kyrie and Butler, and if there's another shoe to drop for the Celtics? And like you said, they don't have to make this call to Marcus Smart. They're the ones that have the leverage here. So do you think that there's something else behind not offering Smart this big increase, even if it's 2 for $24 million, like you guys suggested? So do you think that there's something else that they're kind of waiting on to see if it's going to happen, before they do this deal with Smart?
As in, will they trade Kyrie Irving and then need to extend Smart and need to keep him around?
Yes.
Maybe. I mean, that might be exactly what's happening. That exact scenario might be what's playing out right now. And I don't know.
And that's called having a lot of balls in the air at the same time.
Yeah, it's a lot of plate spinning.
That's
there.
A lot of things to juggle.
It is.
But it could be happening. That scenario could be real. I wouldn't rule that out.
Definitely not. And I don't necessarily think that that bumps Marcus Smart's value up to $15 million. But it certainly makes you reconsider, okay, well, now we got to do something here unless we want to go into the season with just Terry Rozier and Shane Larkin. Larkin's not even here anymore, right? Isn't Larkin gone? Like, you don't have much. That position, once Kyrie goes, is pretty thin. You know, unless you want to start going into the G League and bringing guys like Kadeem Allen and Jabari Bird up and see how they do running the play. I don't know. I feel like that could very well be part of it. But also, if you wait too long, sometimes these things kind of work themselves out and you get left holding the bag. I don't think that'll happen with Danny. It's not generally his MO, but it's worth keeping an eye on for
Tom
sure.
Tom is in the car. He's got a thought on Boogie Cousins going to the Warriors. Tom.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know, everybody's talking about Cousins going to Golden State, you know, really good thing.
Yeah.
And I just, in following that guy throughout his career, you know, the two worst things that can kind of happen to him is to either have him get disinterested, like what happened in Sacramento before he eventually moved on, or, you know, not be able to give him the right amount of minutes, you know, and have him on the court as much as he thinks he needs to be on the court. I mean, he's a great player, you know, hands down. Guy's a double-double guy. He's a guy that can actually put you over the top.
Okay, but where do you think the downside is there? Where's the downside in that deal at 1 year, $5.2 million for the Warriors?
Well, I can actually see him coming back, you know, if he comes back from the injury, right? Big if.
Okay.
Right? A lot of guys don't come back from
all
that.
Right.
So you have to sort of, there's a big maybe there.
All right, let's assume health. He's healthy by, you know, January 1st.
Comes back and he's really good and he's putting up double-double numbers and he looks like a beast. I think you put him, Durant, and some of the other players that Golden State has on the floor at the same time, and there's just not enough basketballs to go around for the guy.
Didn't everyone say that when Durant got there, though? Wasn't that the exact same argument that people had? Yeah. Well, Kevin Durant, yeah, who's going to take all the shots?
Now you're adding another guy. You know what I mean? Now you're adding another guy that's a basketball. You know, he eats, sleeps, and drinks basketballs. You know what I mean? He likes to get the ball out during the game. You throw him on the court with Durant, with the other guys that they have on the court, throw, you know, Draymond Green's in there, you get other guys that need, you know, minutes.
All right, Tom, you can't see the forest through the trees right now, my friend. He's making $5.2 million if he's a problem on or off the court. Do you know what happens? They bench him if he's a problem on the court. They send him packing if he's a problem off the court.
Yeah.
And there is not, they don't have to give it a second thought.
Right.
Oh, Boogie Cousins, pain in the ass. Causing problems in the locker room. This guy's a jerk. You know what we do? Bye. Get out of here.
Eat
goodbye.
$5 million and
take a walk.
See you later.
There's no downside. There's no downside in this.
And is
any of those things where he could ruin the Warriors.
Yeah.
You know what happens if he starts to ruin the Warriors or get in the way of the Warriors?
Bye.
He's no longer a part of the Warriors.
Exactly.
Really easy solution when you've got him at 1 year at $5.2 million.
And that money and that amount of time as well sort of lends me to believe that maybe DeMarcus Cousins isn't going to be going into this situation demanding the ball all the time and needing to get certain stats and certain numbers. If that's what he really wanted, he could have waited. He could have gone somewhere else where he would have been the focal point. He's going to the Warriors on a mid-level deal. He's going there to chase a ring. He's probably not going to say a peep. I doubt he's going to be a problem there at all. You know, like, really, like, even a guy like him, who is such an a-hole, like, I mean, it's not a mystery with him what he is.
But known quantity.
He's going there for 1 year, $5 million. He's chasing a ring. He's going to get one. He'll probably be a model citizen there and just be happy to be along for the ride. Like, what else is really to take away from this? I would be shocked if DeMarcus Cousins, as much of a jerk as he is, goes there and does anything to even come close to ruining the Golden State Warriors.
617-779-0985. Bertrand and Arcan today here on Zolak and Bertrand. And coming up after these headlines, 90 seconds. The NFL losing again with the President of the United States. They were called out last night. We'll get to that. More your calls coming up. No commercials.